Welcome to Wolf Den's Bendigo Cup Set. We are back for another week, and we're lucky to have maybe the busiest punter slash journalist slash analyst in the country here with us again, Mr. Ben Ascari. Welcome back.
Terrific to be back.
Thank you for finding some time for us. It's an incredibly busy time of year. We're all a little bit punt drunk, but we've got to keep going because we love this time of year. And there's winners to be found, and we're going to do it.
Just keep betting.
That's it. Just keep betting. And Bendigo Cup's on us. It's always a great race. Yeah. Before we do that, though, let's just talk about, you know, probably one of the most special days you and I have ever seen. You know, we haven't been in this game as long as some of the old timers, but we've seen a lot. But it was an epic, epic day out there on Saturday. What did you make of that incredible win?
Took me longer than 24 hours to just try and wrap my head around how Via Sistina was able to knock 1.8 seconds off Winx's track record. You know, Winx, it was a phenomenal effort to knock off Martin Power's track record. And having seen the data last night, I think it was all just a perfect storm of, you know, just such a fast speed from Pride of Jenny. But then at the same time, a brilliant ride from Damien Lane aboard Prognosis to get out of the gates and then track her everywhere they went. And then the field, or the peloton, so to speak, staying right on the hammer of Pride of Jenny at this frighteningly quick speed. They never let up. And Via Sistina was the one that was just able to absorb that pressure. And then actually finish off the top of it. It was just a scenario for a stunning performance. I think one of the great Cox Plate wins. Trying to find rank what's the best, I don't know. But like it's in the conversation for one of the great Cox Plate wins. So just an amazing performance. I couldn't see it coming. It was going to be a question of who handled the pressure the best, and she did with aplomb.
Yeah, I mean, J-Mac was just sitting there going, how good is this? And when they were going around the turn the first time and they're four wide, and he's just sitting going, keep it up, keep it up. Yeah. And then he said he did nothing for the first 1,200 metres, and when it was time to go, there was just so much horse there.
And that's the amazing thing about Via Sistina, that there was so much horse there. So, it was a stunning performance. And
Let's not forget she did three laps and wasn't big chance not to race, you know.
So. Yeah, so anyway, like where they go now is going to be the interesting thing. Like Melbourne Cup would just be so good for racing.
Yeah. You put a plea out to Mr. Waller on Twitter.
Yeah, that was while we were still in the emotion of the the stunning victory. Think, oh, how good would it be if she runs in a Melbourne Cup? But I very much do understand why their connections may want to go to Hong Kong. You know, she's owned by Yulong, Mr. Zhang, who is probably pretty sentimental towards the Hong Kong International Day. So if they want to head there, a clash with Romantic Warrior would be great.
Incredible, yeah.
Look, she went in that form. And it's very hard to travel mares, so who knows whether she can. I don't think she'll ever get to that level again, full stop.
Okay.
But, even if she rates down slightly, if she's only a couple of lengths off, then she's going to be winning in Hong Kong. Because that sort of level that she produced on Saturday, she would have to be, now that we've lost Equinox, that would have to be as good as anything in the world has done 2,000 metres in the last 12 months or so.
And I think she'll go to the Cup. That's my feeling. Yeah. A little bit of mail as well. So,
wow.
I think she'll go to the Cup. Yeah, I sort of heard last week they were planning to go to the Cup. I don't see why they wouldn't change that now.
That would be outstanding.
She's got to get through her scans and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm happy to, because it's going to go from being what was an average Cup to being an elite Cup, which is buckaroo as well. You got Jan Brugel, undefeated. Vauban, the forgotten... forgotten horse as well. So
yeah, it goes from being, just a cup where we're trying to find the winner and who's going to be the best stayer on the day too. Well, it's a cup that's so interesting because we've got Via Sistina, and it's a question: does she back up after such a tough run, and does she relax well enough to stay, etc.? Because you're not betting on whether she's better than them, because you know that if she runs anything like that, she'll beat them.
Yeah, and it's 1,200 metres further too. It's not like Caulfield Cup into the thing, so it's a big chip up in distance. Anyway, we've got to move on. We've got to come back slightly in grade to the Bendigo Cup. And the first feature race we're going to talk about is the Bendigo Cup. We're going to talk about two feature races today. Let's start with the Bendigo Cup. Let's bring the market up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you found this all a bit too hard.
There's just so many unknowns. We've got Seeking the International making his Australian debut. And the form can be tied in through One Smooth Operator, who is... saw win the Geelong Cup, which we spoke about last week. He actually beat that horse home in the Ebor with the previous stable. But the interesting thing about these internationals is we saw it in the Geelong Cup. It's not necessarily the horse that comes over with the best European form, it tends to be the one that just acclimatizes the best. That win of One Smooth Operator, you know, he'd been going around 3,000 meters, 2,800 on the synthetic over there. He looks like he might be a little bit of a grinder, but then he comes over here, acclimatizes beautifully, settles in beautifully, and he's just like a different horse. Remind me a bit of like a, you know, Prince of Arran or a Red Cadeau, these horses who may not have had spectacular European form, but they're a different horse when they come to Australia. So he's probably a live Melbourne Cup chance now off what we saw last week. But so my point is, it's hard to know whether you're getting, you know, the Birdman who turns up with the grouse form and probably doesn't run up to it, or the One Smooth Operator who's like a different horse when they come to Australia. So that's the cloud with a horse like Sea King. Barclay Square's absolutely flying. He hasn't been to this sort of distance range since he was unplaced in a Derby, but that was a busy spring three-year-old preparation, and I think he's probably better credentialed to handle the rising trip these days. There's been some early support for Whiskey on the Hill, who's right up in grade, but he's lightly raced, fit, in form, drawn for a soft run. And look, I've made a case for Vow and Declare at a big price last week in the Geelong Cup, and I don't think he was given any hope at all. You know, the hope would have been that he went forward, they sort of took a sit early, then the race just went around him and he was good the last 100. So he could almost be in the mix again. But Barclay Square and Vow and Declare are the two I'd be leaning to, but who knows what to expect from Sea King.
Fair enough. All right, let's move. We're going to go to the Country Series Heat 8. This is race 9, and can you just give us a little bit of a lowdown on what this Country Series actually is?
Yeah, so this is the Melbourne Cup Carnival Country Series, where there's a series of heats throughout the different country racetracks. For example, Hamilton Cup had a heat, Horsham Cup Day's got a heat. There's one on Sale Cup Day on Sunday. So lots of different country tracks have a heat. And the first and second home automatically gain a spot if they want to take it up in the final on Oaks Day. There's a $500,000 final over 1,600 metres with all the heat winners and then any other lucky losers if there's not a full field. It's good opportunity. Only for country trainers. So, you know, I don't think, you know, like Chris Waller or anything, Kieran Maher are able to have runners in it. So it does present some good opportunities, and there's been some good heats so far this season.
Cool. And what did you make of this race?
Yeah, it looks a race in two. The market said, well, maybe three chances, I was thinking predominantly. DK is going to roll along on speed and give a good sight. But, you know, the market's identified Easy Done and Yellow Sam. And Easy Done's favourite in early betting off a nice return first up, wrong part of the track, fitter for that run, and he's going to get 5.5 kilos off Yellow Sam. But I think Yellow Sam, on what we've seen to date, is the better performed horse. She was very good first up in a race that wasn't at all suitable. We covered her last week, and unfortunately, both her and Talbragar were scratched from a really suitable race at Geelong last Wednesday. And she comes here, Talbragar ran in the McEwen, which was just a bit too strong for him. But I like the run of Yellow Sam first up, fastest last 200 of the race, pattern completely against. She's down in grade, fitter for that run, and at 1,400 she can settle closer. So, yeah, I think I'd have them the other way around in terms of favouritism, so I'm happy to back her in the last on Wednesday.
And it's an official Bendigo Cup set.
Yes, tip. Bendigo Cup set tip, Yellow Sam in the last.
Very good. All right, well, let's keep moving. Do you have anything else for us to play around with on the day? And it's always difficult for you because we shoot sort of Monday afternoon, the acceptance will come out, but the bookies are slow to put the markets up.
Yeah.
So it does get a bit tricky for you, so you might have to tip without price on a couple of
these. Yeah, I'll give a couple without price, but there's one more with prices that I'm keen on, and that will be an official Wolf Den Bendigo Cup set double tip in this race. There's two I like here. So in race 8, it's the 1178, or the sort of the feature sprint on Bendigo Cup Day, and there's one that's got really short in Manchu. He's a favourite, but I like a couple of double figures here. One of them being Colesridge, who's first up. He's a bit of a first up specialist. He's got an excellent first up record, and he's a Bendigo specialist. And he's jumped out well. He always jumps out well. He's a good trial horse, but he does train off seemingly quite quickly in his preparations, but he's a really good first up horse. And look, he's trained locally, and he usually gets set for these Bendigo feature days. So at the price, Colesridge, I think he's been 18 to 15 early, so $15 available early there with Ladbrokes. I'd be happy to back him each way. And then Atlantic Spirit in the same race is a $20 chance with Ladbrokes in early betting. She's a bit disappointing first up at Hamilton, but it's a strange track. Not every horse handles Hamilton. It's a big downhill run. She was only first up. And you look at her best form last prep, she'd be right in the mix, if not one of the favourites in the race. So Coles Ridge and Atlantic Spirit at, you know, $15 and $20. I think we can back them both each way.
Great. And anything else?
Yeah, so in the first race, there's a horse off Clinton McDonald's, which there's no markets up here. I don't think the market will miss it, but if they give us an each-way price, I'd be pretty happy to back Jasmine Rouge. Jamie Carr heading out for the one ride. It's had two recent jump outs and gone quite nicely.
It's the first starter?
First starter, yep. By done deal of filly. So depending if we could get, you know, an each-way price, $5 plus, it'll be one I could back price pending. And the first emerging in the same race, whose name escapes me, this would be one if we were getting $21, $26, something really big if they were to miss it, because it was quite disappointing on debut last preparation on wet track. But the jump outs this time in look like it might have come back a much better horse for Tom Davenig, Linda Meach to ride. But that's price depending. I'd want a big price to find out based off its debut.
Very good. And that's it? That sees the set out?
Yeah, that sees the set out without seeing any prices at this stage.
All right. Well, I couldn't let you go without talking to you about Derby Day. So arguably the greatest individual race meeting of the year, I probably think it is.
Yep.
Every race is a group race. The nominations have come out, so the bookies have put a few prices up.
Yes.
I thought we might just throw a few markets up and just have a gentle chit-chat about them. First up, we're going to start with the Coolmore. We'll do the three group ones to start with. There it is. When a Storm Boy came out overnight, they've decided that they don't want to run. What are you seeing there? Firstly, what do you think about not running Storm Boy? You think probably not a bad idea? You probably would have been hard-pressed to win this race. And
yeah, it's interesting. I'd like to see him next prep get out over a little further. Just think when they stay at sprint trips, he's at his top for a long time and he needs to dominate races from the front. So it makes it a bit tough for him. I think the market's probably identified the right three horses in this race, but whether they're in the right order, I'm not sure. Don't know if there's any need to rush to bet at this stage in terms of, all in versus just waiting for final field. But I am interested in Traffic Warden in the race. Yeah. He's been great in his two runs of three. It looks like he's come back a bit better. And I thought one of the three-year-olds had put their hand up in the Everest and maybe go to a new level. And, of course, we didn't get to see him. You know, Growing Empire didn't really make that progression he had been making in every start prior to that. He sort of held the level he did in the Manicato, whereas we didn't get to see Traffic Warden. So I'm wondering if that might stand him in great stead for the Coolmore, that he might be able to just take that next step.
Very good. All right, we're going to move on to, what do we got next? There it is, the VRC Derby. So the disappointing news, you and I were disappointed.
Yeah.
Broadside, it was a bit of a talk. I don't think I was ever that serious about running him.
But well, interesting, just read an article on the racing.com website that James McDonald was overruled. So he wanted to run Broadsiding, and good on him, because, you know, he's a racing purist, so to speak, and he wanted to run Broadsiding in the race. He's got a colt that he thinks can win the race, and he wanted to run him, but I think the powers that be at Godolphin said commercially it's not a viable option.
Help.
But,
So he's not going to run, but, yeah, it's sort of the backup horses, isn't he? Got both favourites are going to be backing up.
The one that interests me here is King of Thunder. So you're looking at Red Aces and King of Thunder, who finished alongside each other in the Vars. I think both of them are going to be really well suited, 2,500 Flemington. El Castello, obviously the favourites, a great chance bringing that spring champion form. But King of Thunder was getting keen, like ridden off the pace, got keen, and still savages the line late in a slowly run race. He looks to me like 2,500 at Flemington, particularly if they ride him a bit more aggressively on the speed like they had done earlier in his career. He's the one that at $8 I think might be over the odds.
Okay, very good. Let's move on. I think we're going to go to the Empire Rose. I thought Orchestra was a little short at 420.
Agree.
What are you seeing?
I think the tissue's going to run really well. Amelia's Jewel was a great signs of life last time out. But the horse that interests me here is Plenty of Ammo.
Last start winner, one on Saturday.
Yeah,
huge. Good result for the pot.
Yes, very good result for the pot. So nice find there.
It was Dream Team that found
that. Yeah, I think it was Dream Team. Yeah, he did a great job. So she was good first up, probably should have won. Great return from a long break. And she was even better. She's just a line finder. She's just a mare that she's yet to do anything poorly in her whole career today. And you've got a few horses here. Orchestral looks short. A tissue, she just means like maybe she's a length or two off her very best. We know she's hard fit now, Flemington. She's got to be one of the leading hopes. Mila's Jewel probably has never quite got back to her best form, whereas Plenty of Ammo, she's a mare on the absolute up.
Okay.
In career peak form with some real upside. So, Plenty of Ammo is the way I'm leaning at this stage. Again, I don't know whether I need to steam in that they've completely missed one early, because there is that risk as to whether she's definitely going to back up or not. But Yeah, I think she's the way I'm leaning at the Empire Rose at this stage.
All right, let's move on. And we come to the Wakeful, obviously, for the fillies on the way to the Oaks. Interesting one here, Powers of Opal. Huge last start winner at Hawkesbury. One like that would go around again like this, Athena did. John Sargent. This is not really your forte, is it? You don't know a huge amount about these ones yet.
No, I did see she was unplaced in a flight and then went to a super maiden and just bolted in and did it so impressively. And you, with a lot of respect for the stable, there's already been money for her in all-in betting. So suggests that she's probably going to be favourite come the Wakeful. But it's one that I'm probably just going to watch and learn a little bit about these fillies as we head towards the Oaks. But yeah, good to see her and J-Mac Roeder in that supermarket, super maiden.
She's doing these ones, is what?
Yeah, you'd imagine J-Mac's going to be on, yeah.
Yeah, all right, moving along. The Damien Oliver. Now, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
We've got the Mar horses, Jimmy Starr, another wheel up the top there.
These are probably Mar's two Rupert Clark horses. Whether another wheel, if he was to run really well, they might think about a Champions Mile on the back up because he can stretch out, but... Jimmy Starr's been so good, but it was a very easy run to forgive another wheel in the Toorak. He was close to that brutal speed and entitled to tire late, and his previous form had been good. So not one I want to bet in too early, but if anything, I wouldn't be surprised to see another wheel, you know, be able to bounce back.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move to the last one we look at, the Rising Fast. I Am Unstoppable backing up. Schwartz, that good colt from John O'Shea Yard. Pretty open field, isn't it?
It is indeed, and it usually is. So the horse that creates a lot of interest here, the market hasn't necessarily missed him, so he's another one that I don't know if we have to step into early, is Ray Magnerio. So yes, it was a terrific return behind Jimmy Starr first up, needed the run according to the stable, and he was a little unlucky not to beat Estriella.
Yep.
Back to 1,000, so you'd think third up, just about ready. He's probably going to be on the minimum without having seen the weights yet. If you can just draw the right side of the straight, that's what I'd probably be waiting for, to make sure he draws the right side. He'd be, I think, the one for the Rising Fast.
Very good. All right. Well, that just about sees us out, mate. But thanks for your help over the last couple of weeks. You've made my job a lot easier, and hopefully there's a few winners amongst this, and
yeah,
the punters out there can get on the right foot before we rip right in on Derby Day.
Yeah, so very much looking forward to it. It's a great week of racing, kicking off with Derby Day, and before that, we've got a very good Bendigo Cup and great Bendigo Cup program to try and find a winner.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you for your help. Up the Dan, and we'll see you soon. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.